you didn't say that.
All right, Chairman Brad Holden, I'll bring the meeting back to order. We are in fiscal year 2026 budget workshops, and we're going to have a presentation from misdemeanor probation. All right, take it away.
Well, before I get started, if you're looking for the notes in PowerPoint, you have to go into the Division of Misdemeanor Probation, because that's where I can enter like the actual numbers, and that's where you'll find the notes. So if you're looking for those, that's where they're going to be. I didn't do as many this year just because my B budget's pretty vanilla. Got us down. So,
all right,
we'll start with that. So this department, we do a lot of different things. And, you know, if you kind of look at this first slide, I mean, we handle all the supervised misdemeanor probation cases. We handle the community service program. Our misdemeanor probation department supports two problem-solving courts, DUI court and veterans court. Our community service program supports all of the problem-solving courts as a sanction that they use on a weekly basis with people. So we have a pretty darn big job that we do. And we partner with a lot of people. We partner with a lot of treatment providers. We partner with a lot of nonprofits. And I think one of the things that I think stands out the most is we do all this with a pretty small department. When we're fully staffed, we have 13 employees. We have me. We have our assistant director, Mary Gomez. We have 8 probation officers. We have an office manager, and we have 2 senior administrators and specialists. And those 2 admin staff run the entire community service program. So we get an awful lot out of a pretty small department. And we recently were able to fill our 2 vacant probation officer positions. We had 1 start this week and 1 last week. And realistically, I mean, they're going to go to the academy all of August. They probably won't start running a caseload until September. So we're still working, you know, functionally shorthanded. So we do a lot with a little. Just kind of give you a sense of just some of the workload numbers. When we began May, we had 957 active cases, 560 bench warrant cases, and 155 offenders assigned to the community service program. And then you factor in all of the weekly court. We have 9 magistrate judges that we support every single week, court every single week. We have the 2 problem-solving courts that we're in every single week. And so I think one of the things about this department is the county gets a lot of bang for its buck. Now, when I was trying to think about accomplishments for FY, what we'd accomplished, I thought a lot about, like, you know, we do a lot of stuff. We manage a ton of just daily phone calls, walk-ins, liaisoning with treatment providers and different victims. A lot of people that are just in crisis all the time. But I tried to think a little bit outside of the box of what you would just expect us as a department to do well every day. Wait a second. This is my wrong thing. Give me 1 second. This is the wrong year. No wonder why this thing makes no sense. That is not my accomplishments for this year. Give me 1 second. There we go. We're going to get what we want to be. This is going to make more sense to everybody now.
That's a new thing. Or was it just somewhere else before?
Well, that does not make sense to me.
That's a good thing. Sorry. She says, of course.
Now I'm where I want to be. Sorry about that.
No problem.
Okay. So, my accomplishments for this year. If you haven't been to the old elections building recently, like in the last month, you're not going to recognize it. That is in the middle of a big redid model. And I'm really proud of this. We're going to get 2 additional offices out of this.
we are going to get a training room slash classroom out of it. We're going to get a conference room out of it. I really think this is really something that is really designed for the future. It is really going to do a lot to help set us up for the future. I'm not asking for any new positions this year, but hopefully in FY27 I'm getting them as we work to add some depth. And I think this building is going to do a lot to it. Another one of our accomplishments that I'm really proud of is we've got a liaison for most all of the treatment providers that we interact with. We can't do them all because we have too many of them. And so these probation officers, they go out, they staff cases on a monthly basis, they problem solve with these providers. They do a lot of relationship building. And then the other one that I think we're pretty proud of is we have really worked hard on transitioning historical documents to OnBase. And I think one of the things why I think this is so important is because we have a lot of documents, whether they're statistics, whether they're administrative orders, whether they're resolutions or end user agreements or MOUs, that they need to outlive the person who is sitting in the chair. You kind of think about like your HR department, you know, they've got the different grade systems. And it would really be nice if, you know, the current director could sit there and go, man, I wonder how they came up with this. Or, well, this is part of what we're doing. So that it's going to outlive me. It's something that future directors, they're going to be able to have, always have access to these different documents that they're going to need to in order to be able to run the department and have the historical knowledge to run it. So that's another one of our accomplishments I'm really proud of. So for our goals for FY26, we are working hard to transition to MTRS, which is one of Post database that they use to track training records. One of the new Post rules that we have in effect is going into effect is that in order for probation officers to keep their certifications, they have to key it every 2 years, 40 hours of post-approved training. And that's going to be the key to how we track those hours and we make sure that we're in compliance. And then, I don't know, this next one is probably, I don't know, someday, hopefully I'm going to move it to the accomplished column, but we're working to help implement a domestic violence court or a domestic violence docket. And I think it's something that's really needed here in Canyon County. We've got a couple of judges that want to do it. We've just got some more steps to do, I think, in order to make it a reality. But it's something that's really needed in this county. Yes. Yeah.
There used to be a domestic violence court in Canyon County. And so what are the steps in between? I'm just asking how we help you.
First big step we have to have is we have to have the courts making time for these two judges to be able to do these special dockets, because they're pretty time intensive. And that means other judges are going to have to step up and take extra work off of them in order for that to happen. We have to have buy-in from the prosecutor, and I think we have that. And I think we had that in the past prosecutor as well. Our biggest hurdle in the past has really been the public defender not wanting to do it. But I think we're constantly getting closer. I mean, unfortunately, we'd still be on the back burner in terms of Supreme Court giving us money for a coordinator, because there's other people in line ahead of us since we kind of blew our chance years ago at making this work. But it's something that's really needed in the county. Yeah. I mean, we have a lot of offenders, we have a lot of victims, and it's cyclical. I mean, it's really one of those crimes that you can look at and you just go, it's generational, and it just perpetuates and perpetuates into future generations of both offenders and victims.
Yeah. Thanks for the feedback.
Yeah. Okay. So this slide is a performance indicator of our active probation cases. These are the cases that the POs are really doing work with. These are people that are coming in every month. These are people that are going to treatment. These are people that are being drug tested, actively supervised. I think the trend that I would take away from this slide is that this number has gone up steadily each year. So this is for the calendar years of 22, 23, and 24. And as you can see, each year, those numbers have gone up. So that is a trend that we're seeing going up, is those active cases. This next performance indicator is the bench warrant cases. These are folks that are actively avoiding supervision. There's a warrant for them. They're basically an absconder. This is a trend that's gone down. It's kind of interesting, as I've been doing all this on-base stuff, I kind of thought, well, it'd be interesting to historically look at some of these numbers. So I went back to January of 2009, and in January 2009, we had 1,777 offenders on active probation, and then we had 1,021 people on bench warrant status.
So, I mean, if you were to look at our numbers historically, you'd see the 2000, early 2000s really high, starts to go down, it kind of balances out, and now it's on a slow trend back up. And I think a lot of that is just, it's a reflection of changes in judiciary and sentencing philosophy and prosecution strategies, as well as probably also a challenge of jail overcrowding and what to do with all these misdemeanors. But that's a case trend right there that we see the bench warrant cases going down over time. This last performance indicator is the community service cases. And this probably isn't the performance indicator that I'd like, even though I think we're really busy and we're doing a lot of great work on it. But if you look at this slide, the reality of it is each year this program gets used less by judges. As I said, is they're really busy, but that this is a program that's being used less and less as time goes on. Our revenue sources, we have two sources of revenue. We have cost of supervision, and right now that is $60 a month, as set by the board and the administrative judge. And then we have the workers' comp fee, which is set by statute at 60 cents per hour ordered. And that is largely used as a pass-through to pay for the workers' comp insurance for the people who are on community service. But it does generate a little, because you don't need that full amount to pay the workers' comp fee each year for those community service workers. So those are our only two revenue sources. This next one is a historical comparison of FY24, 23, and 22. And you can kind of see, like, and I don't know, I'd have to give this one a shout out to the clerk and my appreciation to his staff, because that blip in the middle every year that you see, it starts to happen in February and starts tailing off in April, that's tax intercept. That is the byproduct of clerks going in and flagging cases of people who are behind on court-ordered fees, and then the state and the courts intercepting those state tax returns. And actually, the interesting one for our October blip in FY23 is when the state did a special rebate to everybody in October. And we had a great month that month as, again, the clerk's staff went through and intercepted taxes. But if you look at it outside of that, it's going to be pretty darn flat all year long. But we would really probably be in a lot of trouble if the clerk stopped doing the tax intercept program for us. So I'm very appreciative of that. So if we're kind of looking at this year, we got our actuals through April, and right now we're sitting and collecting in cost of supervision $297,941. So that's kind of what we've got so far that we've collected. And as you look to, I mean, it's got that trend of, like, you can just see, like, here's our flat months, and then you're getting that bump from tax intercept. So when we look at kind of our actuals so far, for our annual revenues, you kind of see where we're sitting for FY25 so far on both our cost of supervision and our community service fee that we're collecting. Realistically, we're not on track to meet our projected revenues for either cost of supervision or the community service fee. For FY25, I projected $452,626 in cost of supervision. And so, like, we're not on track to that. We'd have to average $30,937 a month in that collection each month to hit that. It'll be close, but I think we will miss it by a few thousand dollars when you look at kind of what the trend is for the year, and then all of those just tend to be a little bit lower this month. And the same thing with the community service fee. I had projected $13,041 for FY25, and so far we've collected $6,397. So that one's probably not as big a thing, because it's really more of a pass-through, but it does generate a little bit of revenue. So when I projected revenue for FY26, the reality is I lowered it. So I did a lot of different things. I did three-year averages. It's just really a challenge in trying to figure out. It's in a lot of ways, it's very much an educated guess. Like, this is a number for projecting for $448,000 for cost of supervision revenue for FY26. I'm really confident we'll meet that. I think it's a pretty conservative number, and I think we'll probably come in higher than that this year, but we won't be where we're supposed to be. The community service workers comp fee was a little harder. I reduced that to about 11,000, even going off of 3-year averages, just out of the fact that when you look at the number of people being ordered into the community service program, we can see that that trend has come down quite a bit. So that's what we're kind of looking at for our projected revenues for next year. So I've got my FY26 ask. I'll kind of talk about the A budget for a little bit. I put in 5,000 for overtime. There's a lot of me that thinks that's going to be a high number for it. Historically, being a comp time-based entity, frankly, most employees don't want comp time. And realistically, most of the time when we accrue comp time, it surfaces around the Post Academy when students go to there. And that tends to be hit and miss depending on how well the academies run. I mean, we've had years that people come back with a pretty minimal amount of comp time built up. And I don't know, I've had years where they've come back with a ridiculous amount. So that's just kind of hit and miss on that. I also think, well, we also tend to generate a little bit more comp time, pretty minimal, when we're shorthanded. But the thing we have on the PO side of it is they have these flex schedules. So predominantly, I work over today, I cut it later on in the week. And so we typically come out with a pretty small amount of comp time. I think one of the things that's a big unknown for me is January hits and we go to those time clocks. I think what we're going to find, or what I'm going to find, is I'm going to find 10 minutes here, 15 minutes here, 5 minutes here that people weren't claiming before those time clocks, you know, where they get caught up with lunch of like, here's the needs that I can't leave on time, or the same thing at the end of the day. I think we're gonna experience a little bit of that initially. And some of that will be on me to work on how to fine tune some of those problems. But that, I think that is something we're going to find with the time clocks, as people are punching in and out. I think we're going to find some time that previously they weren't really claiming. But I think that amount will cover us, and I think it's probably adequate. Not requesting any new positions for FY26, and then I worked with HR, and they did not recommend any grade adjustments for the staff. Director Danner went through, she pulled up a lot of Ada County misdemeanor stuff, and realistically, I mean, like, our starting pay, it's higher than Ada County's, but it's lower than the state's, so we're just kind of there in the middle. I think the only comment that I would put out there, and this is with my acknowledgement, that compression existed in the county forever, and it probably exists in every single organization out there, but that new grade system that they put in a couple of years exacerbated compression. In terms of, I'll give you an example. It took that starting PO salary for me and moved it up, which I really needed. But they didn't do anything to offset all the other people that were already in the job for years and years. So an example, I had a guy, he had been with us for 2 years, fully trained, fully certified. I had two brand new people, had been here maybe 5-6 months, hadn't gone to post, not certified, not trained. Bam. Those three people are now making the exact same amount of money. And so we also have that kind of dynamic as you looked through the rest of the ranks. I think an example, like a couple weeks ago, we were in here and we were talking about the senior POs. And Director Danner said, yes, they're both in the new grade. One, just barely. And that's not an issue right now, but what if the other one leaves? And we promote somebody and we've got this other one that's just barely in the grade, but they've been doing it for a few years, and now all of a sudden the new person's making that exact same amount. So, and it's not really something that I don't even know that is feasible for the board to even be able to fix those things. But I did want to just put that out there as my kind of thoughts on the subject. You know, I'm not going against what HR has said and is recommending, but that was just kind of my two cents that I wanted to put out there. So that's my A budget in a nutshell. My B budget is down $10,385. I guess we could go through some of those lines if you wanted, but they're pretty vanilla. You know, I think, you know, I raised the copier here, I reduced something else there. One of the big reasons that things are down in the B budget is we didn't have any recommended computer upgrades from IT this year. And this current year that we're in for the fiscal year, the IJJA conference is in Northern Idaho. So we have hotel and per diem. And next year, it's in Nampa. So there's no hotel and no per diem.
There you go.
We had some good savings there. So those probably two big things are probably the biggest reasons why the B budget is down. And that's really all I have. What kind of questions or feedback do you guys have?
Chairman, yep. I think the only comment I would have, I'm glad that Director Danner is here and evaluating departments, and I know that she's going through the administrator, but the tweaking is ongoing to make sure, because as you've indicated, there was compression a number of years and maybe not a clear rubric for how we were establishing the pay rates and steps in there. So I don't know if the chief has anything to add to that, but I know it's she's doing a great job.
Agreed. I think she's working very hard.
Yeah.
Yeah, Mr. Chair, Commissioner Van Beek, was it last week or week before? I thought there was a resolution to change some of the different grades.
That was the senior POs, yes.
Okay, so we didn't do any other changes on your just probation officers?
No. Those senior POs were the ones that they had been specialty lead pay, and then that was taken away and added to the base salary. But I had done the job descriptions like well over a year ago, and they just kind of been sitting over in the holding pattern. And so Director Danner was getting those put into a grade and getting the job descriptions approved.
Okay. At least it's one step forward.
Yeah. Okay. No, lots of positive things. Okay. I don't want it to come across as like me trying to criticize her in HR at all. I mean, it's probably just a reality of every single organization in the world.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
What are the biggest obstacles for collecting on the fees?
Well, there's a variety of obstacles. The first realistic obstacle is there's really nothing that happens to you if you don't pay. We send you to collections when it's all said and done. I think the second really big obstacle that we run into, and this is a broad generalization because we get all walks of life, but realistically, the people that are caught up in the criminal justice system tend to be poor. And so ability to pay becomes a reality. And then we have certain cases where the judge waives the fee. I can tell you one of the things that judges and attorneys are concerned about just probation in general, is how much it costs somebody to be on probation. Because, you know, you can trust us with IDOC, for example. You know, IDOC charges a $60 a month cost of supervision as well. In IDOC's world, they have all this money, for example, for substance abuse treatment. So, you know, that offender that's on felony probation or parole isn't paying for substance abuse treatment. That offender on felony probation or parole isn't paying for drug testing. In our world, I mean, unless they're fortunate enough to qualify for like Medicaid or have a private insurance, they're paying for that treatment. They're paying for those drug tests. And those drug tests are about, what, $20 a pop. They're eating all of that out of their pocket. So their weekly treatment, their drug testing, they're bearing all that cost in addition to the cost of supervision. And so you also run into a reality of just everything adding up.
Clerk, do you have any questions?
Chairman, I was just going to ask how long that you've been, Director Breach has been leading this department in Canyon County.
17 years.
17, so lots of stability there. And this is what was presented by Director Danner for everybody that missed that. It's tough. It is difficult for what you do every day. And I'm looking on the line. When I first started, I met with Director Breach and some of those suppressed needs. One of them was protective gear for their officers because they do not carry weapons. And so that was somewhat of a wrestling match. I'm glad to see now you're on a maintenance instead of a, I have to have a vest for everybody. You retire them out when they're at the end of their approved life.
Yeah, it's been a good thing. I mean, one of the challenges I think that you look at for us as much as anything, it's recruitment and retention.
Right.
Two, 3 years, I'd say, our turnover just among the probation officers is 25%. We're already at 25% this year, and it's May. And I know we have one more coming because it's going to be a long-term employee retiring. And one of our challenges is we get, you know, the quote-unquote lifer retires, and in reality, we're replacing them with a short-timer. We're replacing them with somebody who's going to be here a couple of years and is going to be gone.
Yeah.
Or in the case of our last two people, not even a year.
Yeah. So thank you for what you do and the stability that you bring to Canyon County. And you have a compassionate heart. You're trying to help people who've tripped at whatever level into a place that is not cheap and not desirable, and to get them back on track. And you do have programming, and you work with affiliate organizations like NAMPA. They have a probation office over there, right? Do you work with them?
Family Justice Center?
No, not NAMPA Family. I can't remember. This was probably in 2019 or 2020. We went and visited the probation office in NAMPA, where they were managing.
They were maybe two felony probation officers housed at the NAMPA.
I can't remember, but
that's a good point. That is one thing that we are working on, is we are working on some office space with NAMPA PD to have an officer over there on a part-time, part of the week kind of basis to work with them. I mean, one of our programs that we do is this SCOPE program, which is called Safe Communities. And it's where we pair up with the police department and we go out. We just had one this week with Caldwell, where a couple POs went out and they were focused on gang offenders. Next week we have one with NAMPA on Tuesday night. So there's a lot of partnerships that we do to try to enhance what we do, because there's only eight of them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's a big job.
Yeah, it's a big job.
All right, Chief.
Mr. Commissioners, I'm trying to go through my email, but Director Danner couldn't be here. There's one more thing that was supposed to be, I believe, in the misdemeanor probation budget request, and that's actually the adjustment of the director. Director Breach has been here 17 years. He's not even midpoint into the grade of what he is. Kind of goes into that senior side of senior probation officers and evaluation from top to bottom. I don't have that number in front of me, but there is an adjustment that Director Danner wanted to put in the misdemeanor probation budget, which again, it's kind of awkward with the director here and the recommendations, because it's kind of awkward. I know Mr. Breach would not put that in his own budget, but there is a recommendation out there from HR, and this is one of three directors this year that she wants to consider to put it through the budget process.
Okay.
So if you don't mind, I'd like to get with HR to find out what that number is, if that's okay, or however you want to approach that.
Yes, I'm in favor.
Let's put it in to see to look at.
You had that conversation? Okay. I didn't think you did. So this is just one thing. She just evaluated from top to bottom. So I'll come back with more information.
Thank you.
Okay. And I apologize. My email is kind of out of control and I can't find it.
Can you make a note to have her available if we do a round two?
Yes.
All right.
Absolutely.
Okay. Perfect. Anything else for this?
I don't think so, but I think, is this the first time we've met your assistant director?
Well, we've had her over a couple times. I tried to take the hard slides, but she wouldn't.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, okay, Commissioner Brooks has a better memory than I do. He says you were here last year.
I was.
Yeah, well, thank you. It's nice to see you again.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah, we keep her pretty busy. She's doing an awful lot of work for the county right now. So we're down two PO positions. So her and I have basically been, we're both running a case, but hers is much bigger than mine. And frankly, I took the low-risk people and she did not take the low-risk people. So she's running a pretty intense caseload of, well, probably 80 people right now, in addition to supervising the POs.
Yeah.
So yeah, she's doing an awful lot of work for the county right now.
Yeah, and it's what we consistently say, Chairman, that there's people in Canyon County that are willing to do more with less. And so thank you for, that's a great highlight for you. Yeah.
Thank you. Okay, there isn't anything else. I'd make a motion that we take this under advisement. There'll be a couple changes that we will have on come back around. And we'll have Marty here for the HR portion. So with that, I'd make a motion. In that motion, I'd say let's adjourn for a short period of time to break the record between us and the next subject.
Second.
Okay, motion's been made and seconded. All those in favor say aye.
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 Aye. Motion carries unanimously. So with that, let's adjourn.